Well, tonight we're going to look at something that I believe each and every one of us do every day of our lives. And I trust and hope that you do it many, many times every day of your lives. The theme verse is up on the screen. Those who can't see it, I'll read it to you. It's in Psalms 145, verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That's what we do. That's what we want to do. We want to express that. So the title of tonight's sharing is A Heart of Raising Our Praising. A Heart of Raising Our Praising. You know, when it comes to praising, it's so easy when everything is well. Very easy. We know that. But what about when it ain't? When it ain't. That's the best time to praise God. Because when you do that, you're telling God, I know your promises are for me. I know your goodness is towards me. And now that I'm not doing so good, I'm still praising you for those things. Because I will be delivered through the situation I find myself in. Do you see that? So the next time you're hurting or you got a problem, my goodness, get on your praise horse and take off. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I promise, God's word promises, that it will deliver you because God recognizes a humble heart. Huh? I believe the top three ways to show praise to the Father are, number one, praising with our understanding. In other words, like right now, Heavenly Father, praise you. Thank you for all that you do. I'm a grateful son for your goodness towards me. Praise your holy name. That's with our understanding. How about this one, speaking in tongues? Speaking in tongues is praising the Father because you're giving him perfect prayer for someone who is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And the third one is obedience. Obedience is praising the Father. These all direct the actions towards praising God. And there's many, many others in God's Word. But obedience is a big one also as far as praising goes. The Bible doesn't specifically state who praises God the most. There's no scorecard saying, oh, Moses did it 552,000. It doesn't. But there are those who stand out. There are those who stand out in God's Word when it comes to praising. So with that said, let's begin with David. Okay? So guess where we're going to go? Absolutely. We're going to go to Psalms. And when you get to Psalms, go to chapter 138. Now tonight, some of these I'll be reading out of the King James and others out of the NLT. So in Psalms 138, starting in verse 1, the first thing it says is, I will what?
Praise
thee. Praise your neighbor? No. Praise the ice cream man? No. Praise God Almighty, you know? God Almighty, I will praise thee with my what? Can't hear you. With my what?
Whole
heart. Thank you. With your whole heart. And that's the only way to praise God. It says in there, strength, soul, might. You know what? Praising is the same way. Before who? The gods, the other gods. He's in there facing, hey, forget all you guys. I'm praising the one true God. The one true God. Will I sing praise unto thee? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. If that was it, we just praise God for his loving kindness, that would still be due him. You know, his loving kindness covers a whole lot in our lives, but it does go on. And for thy truth. Bottom line, God's truth shall make you free. God's truth will show you things you and I need to see. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Above all thy name. Verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee. They shall praise thee. O Lord, when they hear thy words of thy mouth, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, since we're in Psalms, let's try going to chapter 145, please. Psalms 145. And when you get there, look at verse 1. This will be the NLT. I will exalt thee. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name for how long? Forever and ever. Forever. And if forever is not enough, there's a little extra package of ever after that. Okay? Verse 2. I will praise you when? Every day. Can we do that? Absolutely. I know when I'm at work, I catch myself praising God many, many times for everything that's good, everything that's happening, for Him blessing the day I prayed for and asked Him for in the morning before my feet hit the ground. So at work, I can get, praise you, Lord. I may not say it out loud, but I'm saying it in my heart. Praise you, Almighty God. Praise you forever and ever. So every day, yes, I will praise you forever. Forever. That's what God wants. That's what blesses His heart. Okay? Do we do this every day when we praise the Lord? Well, like I said earlier, I sure hope so. And several times throughout the day. There's so much to praise Him for. Okay? Get excited about that. Now, we're going to pick this back up in Psalm 145. We're going to go down to verse 3. And in verse 3, it continues to say, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of what?
Praise.
Praise. It's not a hard thing to do. It's a grateful thing to do. No one can measure His greatness. Let each generation, that includes us, as they roll on, tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your goodness, your greatness, rather. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about you, about your righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, thank God, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of your glory, of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. How many of you have ever exemplified the power of God in your lives? I sure hope so, because you know what? It's in you. It's in you. And so when God gives you this, you know what you do with it? You use it. You use it. Verse 12, they will tell about your mighty deeds and about your majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps His promises. He is gracious in all He does. That's our Heavenly Father. He doesn't need to be that way with us, especially because of who we really are, but He is. Praise Him. Praise Him. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those who are bent beneath their loads. We've all had loads in our lives, but you know who's going to pick you up and raise your head up? A lifter of heads? Almighty God. Almighty God. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. Are animals living things? Sure. The animal kingdom. God takes care of them. If He's going to feed the animals, what about us? You better believe it. You better believe it. All the more reason to praise Him. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled, there you go again, with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who reverence Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. In verse 20, the Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. In 21, I will praise the Lord. And may everyone on earth bless his holy name again, forever and ever. A lot is said there, but it's all directed to praising God and his goodness, his mercy, his unfailing love. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. And when you get there, go down to verse 6. Right away. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. When you have a pitcher of something, tea, water, and you're filling a glass, do you do it drop by drop or you just pour it in there? You pour it. God pours his grace out on us. So metaphorically, he's up there just pouring a big pitcher of grace on you and I. He's not holding back. You know, praise you, Father. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Now let's see and read why then Abram, later Abraham, had reason to praise the Almighty God. And in the Hebrew language, Abraham, the A-B, the first part of his name means father, okay? And the second part of his name is really spelled out H-A-M-O-N, Hamon. And that means of a multitude. So he's the father of a multitude. And we know that because God said, you shall have many, many nations come out of you. And so we need to go to Genesis real quick. And chapter 12. And verse 1. There is so much praising in our breath that we have in the rest of our days, so we need to keep on doing it. Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those that treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. This is plenty of reason to praise the Father, and this is what he has done for Abraham. Now, since we're in Genesis, let's go to chapter 15. And in Genesis 15, let's look at verse 5. It says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You know, on earth, experience this, you got a big family with 10 kids. That's a lot. To our standard, it's a lot. 10. It's like a race to the dinner table when it's time to eat. But my goodness, as many as there are stars, you know, Father, Costco is not big enough. I need a lot more food than what they have. But God would never give you something you couldn't handle. He would never give you something that he hasn't prepared a way for it to work out. So he said, you know what? You're going to have a bunch of families coming after you. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Keep in mind all that God promises Abraham, causing Abraham to praise and obey the Lord's covenants is a big deal. As the Lord commands him to serve faithfully. And that's what he asks us to do, to serve faithfully. Again, it's not a hard thing. It's the right way of living. We are righteous, and that's part of the right way of living, is to serve. So go to, again, Genesis here. We're going to go to chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse 1. Messages from God surrounding the praising of him and reasons to praise him. Genesis 17:1 says, And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. He says, walk before me and be thou perfect. Let me switch over to the NLT. Verse 2, I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. We saw that already. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. That's what they did then. Okay, this is Old Testament. But God gave him a responsibility to adhere to the covenant. He guaranteed, he put guarantees in there. And so Abraham had to fulfill this. Now let's go down to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Again, it's not just children and family, but there's going to be people that are going to rise up and be kings. They're all in there. Verse 17, then Abram bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100? He thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessings. Now Ishmael was Sarah's maidservant's son. But God said, no, it's going to be your son, your blood son. Even though in his family, Ishmael was born by the maidservant. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac. And I will confirm my covenant with him and descendants as an everlasting covenant. As for Ishmael, yeah, I will bless him also. Just as you've asked, I will make him extremely faithful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But, my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. So God had a plan for Abraham's life. And you know, Abraham at first wasn't so sure, but he believed him. And it was fulfilled by Almighty God. All the more reason for Abraham to bless the father, especially with his age and Sarah's age. Didn't matter to God. It was going to happen. Remember I mentioned earlier how obedience was another form of praise? Well, to see the Lord, let's see this with Abraham's obedience. We're in Genesis, so now we're going to go to chapter 22. Genesis 22. And we're going to look at verse 1. And it reads, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Well, to this point, what? You know, but he showed no hesitation. He showed no hesitation because he believed whatever God had planned, it was going to be for the best. Verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. You know the rest of the story. He never had to go through with sacrificing his son. He caught a ram in the thicket off to the side, and that became the burnt offering. But he was still following through what God was asking. His obedience was to the Lord. What about Jesus? What about him praising God? Some people say, well, why does he need? He's the Son of God. He just sits back on that nice sofa and just chill. No, no. What about Jesus? He did not hesitate to praise his Father, even among the brethren. Go to Hebrews, please. We'll see this one. I know we're looking at a lot of verses of Scripture, but there's a whole lot more than this. But I just wanted to give you a flavor and examples of this praise. Hebrews, let's look at chapter 2 and look in verse 9. Hebrews 2:9. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, you and I, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So, now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. We all have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. In verse 12, for he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you. I will exalt you to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Jesus did not hesitate to praise God by himself or with the family of God. That's what he did. That's what he did. This section of God's word highlights Jesus' salvation and solidarity with humanity and his role in declaring God's name to his brethren. That's what he did. Jesus walked this earth holding forth the good news to those around him, his brethren. This is found in the Old Testament, what we just read. And to see that, I'll show you. Go back to Psalms, please. Chapter 22 and verse 22. Again, this is foreshadowing what was going to happen later on with Jesus. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Praise thee. God's not asking us to do 150 push-ups. He's not asking you, you better make this amount of money every year and give me half. He's not asking you to, he just wants your love. And part of loving God is praising him. It's really not difficult. It should be an automatic response. Just like you breathe without thinking about it, you should praise God as often as you breathe. That's what he wants, your love. That's our Heavenly Father. So, in conclusion, let's look what how praise honors God's wonderfulness. One of them is his greatness. We've got a great, great God. And praise honors that. It honors his power. It acknowledges God's worthiness. Is God worthy of our praise? Absolutely. Absolutely. Rhetorical. Brings a deeper relationship for you and I with the Father when you praise him. How many times in life have someone praised you? I've been praised, but you know what? It comes with a price, you know. Because I did something good, then I get the praise. If I don't, you know, you're just like everyone else. And those praises that we get in life last for a few minutes. That's it. It has to be something somewhat monumental that you do. It's not bad to receive praise. I praise my wife every day. She praises me. I praise you guys for your goodness and your love. But God deserves that every day of our lives, every moment of the day. It brings joy and peace to the heart. Renewing our strength is what praise does. It brings that strength to our hearts. It strengthens our faith because we believe in the one true God and we praise Him for His promises and what He does. That should strengthen your faith. It reminds us of His power and faithfulness. We have a very faithful God. It invites God's presence in any situation in our lives. You're praising God. God's listening. What can I help you with? You see? Our closing verse, Psalms 28. Psalms 28. And we're going to look at verse 7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me. And my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." Thanksgiving is another form of praise. Our hearts should burst out with that. Okay? Here's a sentence that I put before you. There's many things you can fill in the blank with, and it's, I praise God for, you fill in the blank. There's so many things, from health to being reminded that we have eternity awaiting us. So, what are we praising God for today? The list goes on and on and on, and it shouldn't stop as long as you draw breath, because God is there with us. He's in us with Jesus Christ. We praise Him for our risen Lord and Savior, of what He endured for us. We praise Him when we're filled with joy and we're happy. Heavenly Father, what a life You're giving me. More than abundant, like Your Word says. I praise You, Father. I praise You. And just so that you know, throughout the Bible, there's other references that are directed towards praising God. There's thousands of different ways that people have praised God. And you know what? When the Bible was finished, praise is not. When the Bible is finished, praise is not. Praise continues today, and it will all the way until Jesus Christ comes back. Probably when we get up to our eternal lives, we'll be praising Him still yet. But I just wanted to share this with you tonight because God put this on my heart because, like I said, I catch myself praising Him a lot, and I said, wait a minute. I'm going to work that, Father, so that we can have some examples from Your Word on how to praise You. Okay? So, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for giving us all the reasons in the world to praise You for Your goodness, for Your deliverance, for Your help. And, Father, that we can continue to share this with others so that they too can praise You, Father, as those before us. And we just thank You for the life You're given us, all in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.